Today is 31st August, 2021, our National Day, Merdeka Day. So it's a holiday. It's supposed to have a holiday. But since most of you are free, we will continue with our class. So today, being a Tuesday, we will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutras of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 382. Just relax body and mind. Then make sure you have a stable posture. Then we can have our awareness-based meditation, half an hour. You're off the light. Then you all can proceed with your awareness-based meditation. Always remember, this meditation is to develop awareness within. After we develop the awareness, we're supposed to stabilize it. That's why the word awareness-based meditation. So to develop awareness is very simple. Always remember, the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. The only problem is, how do you have a situation or condition where the thought does not arise? This is the problem of most cultivators and meditators, because they think a lot during the day. Most of the time, they are not mindful, not aware. They are not with their inner awareness. They do not know that they have another nature within that is just aware, silent. Then from that nature, all the thought process, thinking, arise. If you understand this, then meditation becomes very simple. Why must we think? Maybe some people say, because we have to live life. We have to interact with people. We have to communicate with people. But then a lot of people, while they are alone, nothing to do, they also think a lot. They don't have to communicate with people or interact with people. They are not driving, nothing. They may be sitting in the office or at home. It's just like you have nothing to do, but you think a lot. So that arises because the mind that is not trained is heedless, think a lot. And they lack the five spiritual faculties to let them develop the meditative mind. So without a spiritual faculty, according to the Buddha, the five mental hindrances, the opposite five, arise. That's why they create mind states that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's the reason why you cannot be in the meditative state. So in formal meditation, we are here to train our mind to have this ability to be aware so that it does not think. There are ways to do it. Most people who don't have the understanding, they will follow traditional methods and techniques without understanding, thinking that there is meditation. Methods and techniques are skillful means to anchor the mind. It serves a purpose, but that itself is not meditation, because they realize their five mental hindrances are there. They are not peaceful. That's why they need an object of meditation or a method or technique to hold their mind so that it does not wander off, so that they are not lost in thought. But the best way is you develop the silent mind. But you can't, then you can use the other skillful means, mind sweeping method, where you silence everything. You don't think, you just feel. Starting from your forehead, relax body and mind, then feel. If there is any tension, tightness or stress within, you just relax, relax, and relax into it. When you are relaxed, the awareness was surpassed, then you will experience that peacefulness, the calm. And because you feel and relax, you no longer think. So as you do this, the mind settle down. It deconditioned the heedless thinking mind and make it peaceful and quiet. That's why my sweeping method is very good. From the forehead, you can sweep down to your eye muscle, feel relaxed. Then again, aware. Then move it down to feel your facial muscle. Again, silent everything, feel relaxed. So as you sweep, you become more calm, more peaceful. Then in order to help you to develop a better mind state, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are more relaxed. You don't think. Then that relaxation part becomes easy. Then you just feel. Then you can learn how to radiate loving kindness if you want to. That will help. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. You can do all this. Then after that, you can radiate to your parents, your loved one, your teachers, or somebody close to you. Then after that, you can radiate to all beings within your house, your vicinity, then all beings within your neighborhood. Then you extend from your neighborhood to the entire country, then Southeast Asia, Asia, then our planet. Then after that, you continue to radiate this to all beings within the entire solar system, our galaxy, then finally the whole of the Milky Way, then all beings within the entire existence. By then you will be more calm and more peaceful. Then after that, you can come back to your facial muscle, feel relaxed, and continue your mind sweeping method all the way down to your heart area, then to your buttock, then reverse the whole thing. It will help decondition your heedless thinking. So for those who find it difficult to meditate, you can do this first. Then after that, anchor your whatever calm mind with anapanasati. You maintain awareness at the breath area, means in front of your nostril, breathing in away, breathing out away. So train yourself with this type of exercise until the breath becomes very quiet, very peaceful and very subtle, until the awareness becomes very, very subtle. The other way is to go direct to the silent mind. Just let go of everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Relax. Maintain awareness. Let things be. Whatever arise, let it arise. Then you can, you should stay at your heart area, or if you got any object of meditation, stay with your object of meditation. Then silence everything and just relax. Maintain awareness. If you do that, you will be able to maintain the awareness to realize your true mind faster. So you don't need to go through all the method, technique, or mind sweeping method, all those things to decondition your heedless thing, the anapanasati, and finally to maintain awareness within. Instead, you can go to realize the silent mind straight away. Means Relax body and mind. Let things be. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Just maintain awareness for as long as you can. Until the mind becomes very quiet and very still. Initially, maybe the thinking, the activity, the whatever contact within your form and mind, this can still arise. Sankara activity can still arise, but let it be. Because as we understand from the teaching, sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta, sankara arise and pass away. That's why it's impermanent. So let it be. When you let it be, everything return to normal. Then the thinking mind will start to slow down on its own. And you are patient. Then you will experience this slowing down of the thinking process, sankara activity. Then things become more and more clear, more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Then the awareness starts to develop. Then there is like a switch in consciousness or shift in consciousness. Your consciousness like suddenly become very quiet, still. And then you know your mind has become more quiet. It has slowed down. Then it will become completely still. When your mind is without thought, without any aggregates of mind and completely still, find out. Who are you? What are you? You will experience something. The awareness nature will manifest, will surface. That is your true mind. That is your silent mind. You're supposed to realize that. Then stabilize it and stay there. Use it to meditate. It's not easy to do that because most people don't understand, because from the awareness nature, it will move into the thinking and the thought process very fast. They are very, very near, because the mundane thinking mind, the aggregates of mind, they arise from that nature very fast. They arise because we have a physical body. We have the brain, the memory, the conditioning, the views, the opinion, everything. So thought is respond to memory. So you create thought. Then because of accumulation, this thought become heedless because you lack spiritual faculty. Your mental hindrance are strong. So they create mental activity that can condition you to stir your mind, react. And sometimes all this movement is due to your accumulator phobia, the subconscious and unconscious release. So when you try to meditate, all this will happen. So the ability to maintain awareness, to observe and understand all this is meditation. Okay, so now I will set the alarm for 30 minutes and you can continue your meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner calmness, inner awareness and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to use to live life, to develop the daily mindfulness, and to stabilize your daily mindfulness so that your heedfulness is very, very stable, so that you are throughout the day mindful, aware, ever mindful, constantly meditative. And that is the ultimate mind. Meditation means meditation in the midst of life. We call it the daily mindfulness. Okay. Now we will turn to page 382. Before we continue, we'd like to maybe share with some kilometer that today is Medical Day. So it's our Independence Day, National Days. In the early days, it used to have a lot of significance. Here is the day 60 or years ago, I think 1957, where we gained independence from the British government. So before that, we were a colony. So Merdeka signify a lot of beautiful things. We have our own nation, and we have our own country. And we supposed to build up this country because of that historical moment, the joy and all that thing. And we supposed to have the understanding of a multiracial country, where diversity is our strength, and we're supposed to build a harmonious and peaceful nation, successful, peaceful, and strong nation. But it looks like after 60 over years, we have not made much progress. So anyway, that is the way the consciousness evolves. So we see how it goes. Anyway, we'd like to wish everybody a happy Independence Day, Merdeka. So for those who still celebrate, I wish you well. And you will want to watch program on the TV. I hope there is some program, I don't know. Last time I used to participate in Merdeka National Day when I was young as a school children. And I love those things. As I grew up, this significance starts to deteriorate. I don't know what happened to the country. So hopefully things can improve. Okay, so now we continue from where we stopped. Page 382. We are at the next adapted verse. Guard against wrongdoing, stop evil, and avoid doing bad deeds. These are very good advice. You can guard against wrongdoing. You can stop evil and avoid doing bad deeds. You will be beautiful. So how do we guard against wrongdoing? This one is more important. Like I always say, what is shared in this book is most of them are words easier said than done. Guard against. But how you do it? First, we have to understand what constitutes wrongdoing, wrong deeds. And the Buddha taught us in a very unique way. He said, there are evil roots. There is the root of all evil, make us evil if we have them in our mind states. So he called them the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. In Pali, it's called Lobha, Dosa, and Moha. So we have to understand what constitutes evil. In a similar way, what constitutes wrong deeds or wrongdoing? Whatever mind state that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion will lead to evil actions, speech, and thought process. So you guard against your action, speech, and thought process, then you can guard against evil or wrongdoing. And since we already developed the understanding of what constitutes evil, so we need to train our mind to have this understanding, then develop the mindfulness, the heedfulness, to enable us to guard against all this. That's why mindfulness is very important. The awareness-based meditation is to develop the stability of mindfulness in you. That awareness nature is our true mind, silent mind, and that nature has this characteristics of awareness. It's just aware before the knowing. If you don't have this awareness, you cannot guard against evil or wrongdoing, and you cannot stop evil. So all this, they are connected to the cultivation. That's why we need mind first. We need to understand what constitutes evil. We need the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then we need to expand on them. So that when we are in the midst of life, when we see them with our mindfulness, we know the evil roots are there. So this will condition wrong thought or evil thoughts. And thought condition action and speech. If your thought is wrong, action speech will go wrong too. That's a noble eightfold path, start with right view. If your view is wrong, your thought will be wrong. And if your thought is wrong, because thought carries mental intention to act, to speak, to communicate, to do all those things. So if your view is wrong, it will condition wrong thought. The mental intention will be wrong. Then this will condition wrong action and wrong speech, wrong livelihood. Everything you do fall apart. The Noble Eightfold Path is no longer noble when the first path factor of right view or right understanding is no longer there. So this is a very important understanding as far as cultivation is concerned. We need to start with the correct understanding. So right view. What are right view? We need to understand them. According to the teaching, there are three very important spiritual laws that constitute right view. Right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama. Then right view with regards to law of mind, citta niyama. Then right view with regards to truth, dhamma niyama. So these are the three spiritual laws that we need to develop understanding. So when we have this right view, we can accept the reality of the moment, then we can act. We will not act with delusion, we will act with understanding based on this three right view. And right view will condition right thought. Right thought will condition right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then the four right effort will fall into place. Then we will know how to develop the right mindfulness accordingly, followed by right samadhi. That's how the whole Noble Eightfold Path fall into place, and the cultivation will take off. Without this understanding, it's very difficult to develop the cultivation. Okay, we continue. Guard against wrongdoing, stop evil, and avoid doing bad deeds. So this is under control. Protect the mind by diligently carrying out the 10 good deeds. Now this is very important. The only way to protect our mind is to abstain from all evil or avoid all evil. Then after that, cultivate wholesomeness. So here the 10 good deeds are the wholesome action, thought and speech. So we have already gone through early on. 3, 4, and 3. Those with karmic connections will hear the teachings. So if you have affinity with the triple gem, you have karmic connection or affinity, you will hear the teaching and their mind will become clear. Those who penetrate the Dhamma will realize their nature and illuminate their mind. So this one is a very, what we call, powerful statement. For those cultivators who have the cultivation, they will understand. It has deep meaning. So I read to you and I will explain. Those who penetrate the Dhamma means you have insight into phenomena, awaken to the Dhamma, the spiritual teaching, the truth, means the universal characteristic, the understanding, etc. Will realize their nature. Nature here means your true nature, your true mind, your awareness nature, your Buddha nature, and illuminate their mind. So when you realize your nature, in Mahayana they call Jian Xing. Xing is nature, like Buddha nature, Fo Xing. So to realize our true nature, the Buddha nature within, is enlightenment. When you realize that nature, you are with the true nature that can have the ultimate understanding, the wisdom, where that one can illuminate our mind, our mundane mind. So the mundane mind, once is illuminated by the wisdom born of that nature, the mundane mind is no longer deluded. The five aggregates of form and mind is no longer deluded. That's why you can say the form and mind is enlightened. But this form and mind is impermanent, dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, not a permanent and changing entity. That's why it's not you. But it's connected to your karmic nature, your nature. Yeah, this one is a karmically conditioned form and mind for you to come to this existential world, to live life, to experience life, to go through all the whatever coming affinity, conditioning, to fulfill our vows and to do what we want to do, to enable us to experience life to the fullest, live life to the fullest, and fulfill our vows. And develop further understanding and perfection. Okay, now we will read on. As we engage in spiritual cultivation, we must always uphold precepts to guard against wrongdoing. So this one has been explained by Sakyamuni Buddha too. Why must we uphold precepts? Because we undertake the training rule not to violate all these precepts, the basic five precepts. Because violating them constitutes wrongdoing, evil action. It will lead to karmic negativity and downfall. That's why the law of karma is very important. According to Lord Buddha, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. And because of that, we need to understand the importance of karma. If karma plays such a great role in our life, because our entire life depends on it, we are born of it, we inherited everything that we have based on this coming nature, then we are conditioned and protected by it. That's why all this understanding will enable us to have a very clear focus that karma is very important, because we are born of it, had to be conditions for the life, and we are what we are because of that karmic thing, every moment, every instant. So when we see the great importance of karma, we will have to determine strongly to take care of karma. How do we take care of karma? We have to follow the advice of the Buddha. That's why the very famous advice of the Buddha is Dhammapada verse 183. In Pali, it's always chanted as Sabba Papasa Akaranam Kusalesa Upasampadan Sachitta Pariyodapanam Etang Punana Sasana. So this famous verse is very important. The Buddha said Sabba Papasa, all evil. Sabba is all, evil is Papasa. Akaranam, you have to avoid. Not only avoid evil, all evil you have to avoid. Then kusalesa. Kusala is wholesomeness. Upasambadan. Wherever there is wholesomeness, goodness, you have to do. when there is condition to do, you have to do. So avoid all evil, do good. Then finally, purify all mind. Sacitta, citta is mind. Paridapanam. This is the advice of all Buddha. Etang Buddhana Sasana. So all these three very important advice is what the law of karma is all about. To take care of karma, we have to avoid all evil. We have to cultivate wholesomeness, which is what the infinite Sutra of Infinite Meanings advise. And finally, we have to develop wisdom through purifying our mind, through cultivation. So this is how we move into the teaching and develop the cultivation. Okay, we will continue from the sutra. As we engage in spiritual cultivation, we must always uphold precepts to guide against wrongdoing and stop evil. When we encounter an opportunity or have the causes and conditions to do good deeds, we must do. We must proactively take advantage of them and do it, so that we can prevent ourselves from committing evil things or evil transgression. Since external conditions present many traps for us and our relationship with others are a mix of positive and negative karmic affinity, it is very easy for our mind to fall under negative influence. This is very true. Without the Dhamma, without mindfulness and understanding, all this is going to be a problem. The external influence, external condition, they present many traps for cultivator or for living beings. Because we have relationship with people, with environment, with nature. And there is also a lot of mix, positive and negative karmic conditioning from the past with other beings. So it's very easy for your mind to fall under negative influence if you are not mindful, heedful, and aware. Without Dhamma, you will fall. By safeguarding our mind, we will not easily succumb to unwholesome temptation. This is very true. If we are mindful in dealing with all matter, see, the stress is always on mindfulness, big and small, then we will be able to guard against wrongdoing, stop evil, and avoid doing bad deeds. We can also protect the mind by diligently carrying out the 10 good deeds. As we engage in spiritual practice, we must practice the 10 good deeds, or practicing the 10 good deeds can protect our mind, since giving rise to a good thought destroy an evil thought. When we are speaking kind words, we will not be able to say anything harsh or negative. By the same principle, when we give rise to good thoughts, we will not be giving rise to an evil thought. Therefore, we must always sustain the goodness within our mind in order to protect it. If we can diligently carry out the 10 good deeds every day and manifest goodness in everything we think and do, our mind will not have the opportunity to commit any evil deeds. So this is one of the ways to do it. One way to develop and sustain the goodness of our mind is to draw near to wholesome people. Very true. That's why you need to have appropriate kayanamitas, Dhamma friends, good Dhamma friends, sincere, true Dhamma friends. Listening to what they say can inspire us. Then naturally what we say will also be good and inspiring to people. I often say every person is a sutra. When we have a good karmic affinity with someone, every word they speak is the Dhamma to us. Those with karmic connection will hear the teaching and their mind will become clear. From this, we can hear or we can see that it is important to constantly form good affinity with sentient beings. That's why you must have affinity with great beings, with the wise. So that we can encourage and motivate each other to walk the path of Dhamma. At the same time, we must constantly apply the teaching to open our hearts. Then we can always maintain clear mind. When we have good affinity with one another, our mind can naturally penetrate the Dhamma. Those who penetrate the Dhamma will realize their nature and illuminate their mind. Now, this is very true and very important. When we realize the state of ultimate truth, we recognize that everything around us is the Dhamma. Whether it is a sound we hear or an image we see, everything can help us to awaken. Even the buzzing of insects or the chippings of birds can allow us to awaken and realize our true nature. This is very true, nature's phenomena, vibration and all those things. Okay, so we are still early, 9:15, we will read on the next adapter verse. With deep and still contemplation, we must reflect on and examine our own mind. So the emphasis is with deep and still contemplation, means the silent mind, the tranquil mind. We must reflect on and examine our own mind at every moment, means mindfully developing the awareness within. Then every thought will lead us towards clarity. By sustaining a proper mindset and following discipline, our every thought will be pure and free of delusion. Then in every place, we will feel peaceful and at ease. This is naturally true. Deep and still contemplation refers to a state where our mind are pure and clear and our thoughts are not scattered and does not waver. So what is this mind? This is the meditative mind. This is your true mind, your silent mind. That's why to have this tranquility of mind, pure, clear and peaceful mind, that is always in samadhi, not scattered and do not waver. That's why you must develop the five spiritual faculties so that you are in the meditative state all the time. Constantly aware, ever mindful. When our mind are pure and undefiled, we can attain tranquility and clarity with vows as vast as the universe. This is the Bodhisattva's mind. To enter into this state, we need to reflect on and examine our own mind at every moment. So, in order to realize this enlightenment state, you need to be ever mindful, constantly meditative, to cultivate, to awaken, so that the wisdom can be there to enable you to have this mind state throughout the day. So, what is stated here is very true. To enter into that state, you need to reflect and contemplate and examine your own mind at every moment. That's why contemplation, reflection, inquiry, investigation, they are all part and parcel of the cultivation. In our daily living, our mind are constantly enticed by external conditions. This is very true. If you are mindful, aware, you will see this. The external condition lures. The word Leo is very nice, L-U-R-E. It can lure you and cause your karmic downfall and trigger a conditioned living being to grasp cling and hold, to develop craving, desire, lust, everything. That's why external condition can entice living being. So without wisdom, you cannot go with life. That's why here the commentary say, in our daily living, our mind are constantly enticed by external condition. This is when you are not mindful, not aware, not heedful, when you don't have the Dhamma. So they are drawn to external. The external phenomenal world entices the living being. They can lure you. The beautiful sight and sound. And also all the other senses, the nice fragrance, the nice scents, the taste, the smell. So apart from sight and sound, you also have your other senses of nose, tongue, and also your tactile. Then you also have your thought process, mind state. So all this, they have their external sense data. So external sense data for the mind is your memory. Then every moment of consciousness also you recall. Then you create more and more thinking, concocting. So that one, when you are not mindful, when you don't have the Dhamma, it can really draw you away and make you heedless. That's why the external condition, without mindfulness, without Dhamma, you cannot go. You will fall. It will like delude you and condition you to grasp, cling, and hold. Then it will condition negativity of karma. When we hear other people's voices, our mind becomes focused on the sound. When we see other people's appearances, our mind focuses on their image. Our mind begins to fluctuate along with the external environment, and thus give rise to discursive thoughts, or what they call heedless thinking, wrong thought. But if our mind can penetrate the Buddha's teaching, awaken to it, then every circumstances we encounter will be teaching us the Dhamma, because we will know how to see things as they are. Every moment, every instant, the causes and conditions are there. We can see how they unfold and how they manifest and how they continue to flow. Then you will know how to develop the right understanding to accept the reality of the moment, to be at peace with every moment, accord and flow with nature's condition. So this is the cultivation and the teaching. So here the sentence says, if our mind can penetrate the Buddha's teaching, see the word penetrate the Buddha's teaching, is to insight into phenomena and to awaken to the Buddha Dhamma. This is not easy, but if you can do that, then you are beautiful. Then he said, every circumstances we encounter will be teaching us the Dhamma, which is very true. That's why when you understand, when you have awakened, life itself is your greatest teacher. Truth is everywhere. Dhamma is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Yes, they are there in the midst of life and existence. Thus, whatever external condition we face, we will know how to examine and reflect on ourselves, so that our mind, in our mind, every thought will lead us towards clarity, free of all negativity. When we constantly give rise to good thoughts, naturally we will diligently engage in spiritual practice and do good deeds. Then when we meet someone with whom we have karmic connection, everything we see or hear bring us clarity of mind. This is the clarity attained by penetrating the Dhamma. Therefore, our spiritual practice is to always take good care of our mind. That's why we need to be heedful, ever mindful. Our mind are inherently pure and clear. So if we can constantly contemplate and illuminate them, naturally, every thought will be clear and our mind will not be defiled or deluded. It's a better word. Overcomplicated. Also applicable. Deluded is a better word. When you are too complicated, you cannot understand truth. Because truth is very simple, very direct. That's why when you think too much, when you have a complicated mind, you cannot understand truth. Human nature has always been the same from ancient time up till present. At one time when I met with a group of neurologists from Beijing Hospital at the Qingshu Airport, one of them asked, this one is about the author, is human nature ultimately good or evil? I replied, human nature is inherently good. However, our inherently good nature is often defiled by the external environment and tinted by negative habitual tendency to the point that people think that human nature is evil. However, if everybody were able to live in a wholesome environment and be influenced by it, they would naturally be able to retain their true nature of goodness. So this is the author's explanation, which is quite good and very true. But when you come to this question, whether human nature is inherently good or evil, we have to understand it slightly deeper, because we have a conscience. Each and every one of us, human beings, we have a conscience. And this conscience is the wholesome part of our human nature. That's why when you go through life, you don't believe me, you check for yourself. You will experience this. Yeah, when I was young, I knew there is such a thing as a conscience. Because as we are born into this world, we will be conditioned. Initially, it's of course by our own parents or guardian or nanny or whoever who take care of us. Then later on by the environment, by the whatever society's norm, culture, tradition, education, the media, the social media, the newspaper, then also the education system and all those other things. So these are the things that condition us and mold us into having certain type of viewpoints or views and opinion of things. So from there, we normally act and do. Then before we are enlightened, most of us are selfish. Then we also at times become emotional. Our mind also stir when we are young, before we know the Dhamma. We also make mistakes, we kill mosquito, cockroach, and all those things. Because when we are young, we don't understand. Then once a while, I remember, when you go through life, you will experience certain things that you want to do. Then deep inside, another voice talks to you. This is wrong. This is not right. You cannot cheat. You cannot deceive. You cannot harm. You cannot do all this. That is your conscience. But the trouble is that conscience only arises for a while. That's why sometimes you go and visit certain places or view certain property when you're on the bus. The first instant when you go in, your nature can feel that is the true one. Yeah. Because whatever that happened later when the thought come in and think, that one is not the conscience anymore. So your conscience is inherently the good aspect of your nature. So each and every one of us have a conscience. And that conscience is with most of us. That's why certain type of negativity or whatever evil, without wrong thought, without wrong view, without the influence of conditioning, that conscience will protect you. But most people's conscience are already clouded by their delusion, their ignorance, their conditioning, their views, their opinion, and their belief system. So that's the reason why a lot of people are confused when people say, human being, by nature, you are good. That is the meaning. Eh? By nature, you are good, means you have a good conscience. But if you were to see the reality of life and existence, you look at society, you look at all the living beings, you realize that is not the case. Almost majority of the human beings, they are not good, they are not wholesome. They have a lot of cunningness, deceitfulness. They have a lot of envy, jealousy, motive behind. And they are very selfish, most of them. Unless they are cultivated, they have spiritual understanding, they have the what they call training of the mind through spiritual cultivation and understanding. So this is what I want to add to what the author has spoken, okay? Take the example of the Sichuan earthquake. When Shiji volunteers went to Sichuan to provide disaster relief, they mobilized a group of local youth volunteers. Before the earthquake, these kids were like little tyrants in their own families. Due to the one-child policy, entire family often doted on their one and only child. Therefore, these children never learn to be understanding or to give to others. After the earthquake, these children saw Shiji volunteers teaching by example as they gave of themselves with love. This not only awakened the goodness in the minds of these children, it also helped them to understand that doing good deeds must start with being failure to their own parents. So this is a good example of how the Dhamma can be transmitted. We modern day people call it leadership by example. Shiji volunteer organized an event where these children washed the feet of their parents and grandparents, so that they could truly experience the practice of filial piety. When they kneel down and pour the water over the feet of their elders or parents, they found their feet thick with chapped skin and calluses. They could not help but cry and repent because they finally understood that their comfortable life have come from the hard work of their elders, their parents. One by one, they apologized and vowed that from that point onward, they would be faithful and loving. This is why we say human nature is inherently good. Means they have their good part within. It is simply that we are so easily influenced and enticed by external condition that we move in the opposite direction. Basically, if we come into contact with things that are wholesome, our action will be good. If we come into contact with things that are unwholesome, we will naturally become lax and undisciplined. So this one brings us back to one very important understanding. I used to explain this earlier on to some Kayamitas too, because they have problem with their children. And nowadays society, you know, most of our children, they are second generation kids, some are even third generation kids. They are more fortunate. They have better condition to have the good life. So a lot of things that the children are exposed to, like I said, since birth all the way up to their upbringing, because this parent of theirs, they are much more wealthier, can have the means to pamper their children and give them what they want. Then the way they brought them up, without them knowing, they have been actually spoon-feeding and pampering their children since young, until they are so protective of them, never even want them to face any danger or situation. Everything is being prepared and spoon-fed. They even have maid, no need to wash shoe, no need to wash clothes, eat also got people feed, get ready, everything, chauffeur driven, everything. So if you are not careful, what we do actually is causing more harm than good. Compared to our time as first generation kid, we are more exposed. We have survival skill because we have to do a lot of things ourselves. We have to manage a lot of things ourselves. It's no longer everything we have parents to rely on and to fall back to. Especially our first generation group of people, the baby boomers. Our parents have big family. They have a lot of children, like my family got 9 of us. So you think parents got time for us? You know? No, you have to survive on your own. That's why we become more independent. We survive because we are first generation kids and we have to manage a lot of things ourselves. We learn ourselves. We expose ourselves. Of course, you can say society are not so sophisticated at that time. But you can see the old and the new and many other things. Then we are actually more independent in many ways. So because of that, when it comes to the second generation, we have to be careful. That's why the way you bring up your children, you have to really, really seriously understand that what you do is coming. You pamper them and cause them problem, then later on, it will backfire. I've seen a lot of parents end up hating their children. Initially pampered them or loved them like anything, then later on when they cannot see eye to eye, when they start to rebel and blame the parent for a lot of things, then very negative things happen. So in order to avoid all this karmic repercussion and negativity, we have to develop our understanding of the Dhamma, do our duty well, like Sigalawada Sutta, as mentioned by the Buddha, read it. It defines clearly the duties of parent, duties of children, duties of employer, employee, and all those things. How you establish relationship with fellow human beings, society, and humanity, using the Dhamma way, with the Dhamma understanding. And all this is very useful and very helpful. So bear in mind, otherwise you will end up having problem. You will be a bit too late. But nevertheless, the Dhamma has the answer to all your problems. Okay, we will continue a bit more. I think we are ending that section. Okay, so we must sustain a proper mindset and follow discipline. If our mind are properly orientated, oriented, properly oriented, and we always abide by the rules, then our every thought will be pure and free of delusion. Delusion arises from lack of clarity and understanding. As a result of this delusion, ordinary being becomes distinguished. Oh, sorry, ordinary being cannot distinguish between right and wrong. So we allow our inherently pure and good nature to be guided by unwholesome influence. But if the mind is free of delusion, then in every place, we will feel peaceful and at ease. So this one is very easy to understand. You are free of delusion means you are enlightened. So definitely, your mind is different. Everywhere you go, in every place, you will feel peaceful and at ease. Okay, we stop here. Okay, we will open up for meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have.
Bradio.
Yeah.
Okay. 我想 share 一个就是一个 incident 啦，
yeah,
那个就是 after 我 realize 我 understand 了那个acceptance 跟那个 the five way
yeah, unwholesome thought,
the next day 哦，就有一个就有一个 case， 就我有一个顾客的 staff 哦，他就打电话给我，他来问我们的，他来问我那个 advice， but because 那个不是我们的那个 job scope 里面。
Oh, okay.
So then 他突然间这样打来，又讲的不是很清楚，很乱。所以我就慢慢的听去 advise 他。
Oh, okay.
他知道我我 not clear。Then 就 then 他又一直很像很不耐烦，哇，又一直讲。他就一直在讲。Then 我就 OK。Actually 他是因为他有三他的老板有三间小型的工厂。两间上个月他去 apply 米地，他拿到了 approval。第三间他去 apply 的时候 then 他 receive 那个 reply 是讲要去 apply 另外一个 license。然后他就打来问我。然后我就 advise 他，我说这个因为我们不是在他的 professional 里面，
对，
我就跟他讲我就 advise 他，你去打去你的 associate 那边问，讲来讲，然后我 explain 得很 clear 了以后，然后他的反应就讲，我知道，我就以为他知道，然后 next 他就讲，我知道你不知道，你去问你老板，我知道，我就以为他 understand 我的 explanation，
yeah.
I was surprised 他的 next answer 就是我知道你不知道，
yeah.
我又在 try to explain， 我又跟他讲， yeah. 我又跟他讲，我很 clear 的跟他讲整个的 step， 整个的advise 他怎样的去 deal with 这个 case。他又，我又以为他知道，然后他又 reply 讲，我知道，然后又 same 又讲，我知道你不知道，你去问你的老板。然后，过后哦，我下一个 moment 我就想 ，OK， 我就 accept 他讲，好，我帮你去问。就整个 incident 就整个就 set 得到了。
对 ，that should be the way。有些人呢是要这样的，他不是说want to argue with this， 他的 view very rigid 了的，他就是 he want to be right 就对了的。So when you tone down and say okay, I will go and check with my boss， 他就 like feel very good， feel very good。
Then 后来我第二天我就早上我就 on the way 驾车，我就在 recall 这整个的 case， 我觉得很奇怪，因为你又打电话来，你一直又跟我 argue， but 我在 recall 的时候 suddenly 我 realize that， 我能够accept， 就是我在第三次的时候他一直讲我知道过后，我第三次我可以讲 accept， 讲好我帮你去问我老板，我突然间 realize我以前我不是这样的，以前我会一直 try to persuade to explain，
yeah.
like without thought 我会这样子 的去 respond， 我想，哎，这个是很像是 Yoniso Manasikara 这样子。
呀呀呀！
啊
，That's why that day 就好像思维 explain， 就是 when you start to dwell into all these things， you actually already deludedly created the mark。Well, the mark is he wants to be right, and you also want to be right。So two can never be right. So no matter how you argue, you will not resolve it. Then the other thing is, when you dwell in right and wrong, it will not solve the problem. To solve the problem, you have to accept him for what he is. Then see how it goes. Then the best is, after that, get your boss to reply to him. Then it will be resolved. Well, your boss will know how to answer in a very clear-cut manner, because it's like you say, it's not in your scope, because your field is not this. They should go to their association, their whatever business they are in. The association will know where to actually go and get a right, appropriate professional to actually attend to all this. Sometimes the association also help to clear for the members. So these are what we call application of Dhamma in daily life. So the Yoniso Manasikara that you want to understand is, if it's there, it will prompt you straight away. But this one, because of your habitual tendency, it takes a while. It will not come out so fast. So luckily, in this particular case, after you have contemplated, reflected, then you have better understanding. So at least now you realize you have changed. Last time you will try your very best to explain until the cow come home. But now at least you suddenly, after one or two try, you realize, okay, you accept him for what he want and tell him, I will check with my boss. Then immediately the thing resolved, turned down. But this one is mundane activity to resolve mundane issue. So it's not the spiritual one. The spiritual one, when it comes, is different. The spiritual one, when it comes, is more penetrative. We will even know, like the fifth patriarch or sixth patriarch. He said, this mundane mind, you must know how to use it and not deluded by it or deceived by it. Means it is only the five aggregate. Wu yun. Wu yun jie kong. There is no mark. No mark of a self cultivating, no mark of others and all that. So you know it is for the conditioned world. The conditioned Dhamma has right and wrong, has all these things. So you will know how to act. Then the action is different. The egoic mind is no more there. It's no more about you, me, everyone. You will tend to have more goodness, more wholesomeness, more virtue. Then you will smile to him and talk to him. And like, oh, okay. I understand what you want. Thank you. So these are noble eightfold path. You just apply them because it is the conditioned world. Conditioned world has this conditioned Dhamma. You have to apply Noble Eightfold Path to resolve things amicably. But the Dhamma understanding, where the Yoniso Manasikara is, that one free your mind from attachment, clinging, grasping, holding, involvement in all these worldly things. So that one is the Dhamma aspect. So Yoniso Manasikara is the wisdom that arises, the whatever wisdom that you have reflected, contemplated, and developed through the Dhamma cultivation. That one will surface. That sometimes it surfaces in different ways. Sankara Nichang, Sankara Dukkang, Dhamma Anatta. Then like my daughter, he understands these are mark. And when you dwell in mark, you will create dwelling here and there. Then you will create mark of this and that, rigidity of view, the belief system, That's how argument, conflict, misunderstanding arise. So when you hold on to a mark, you hold on to a self, you hold on to others, you hold on to right and wrong, duality, everything. And when you dwell with situation, that is where your mind dwells. You fix there and you get yourself involved and entangled. But when you have this unisoul manasikara, you will know how to attend to all this following Noble Eightfold Path. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very important. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. All this need training. You need to polish them up. So in this particular case, since you apply this, it works. Then you know in future you can continue to refine upon it and perfect it further so that you become more and more skillful. Then later on with your exposure, understanding and skill, you will know how to resolve all this very, very beautifully. Then you can teach people. Then your whoever who learn from you will know, oh, this person is different. He's very skillful. Just like last time when I was in my career work environment, my staff like me, my employer, he said, your message, you are still your customer. They know, even my classmate, he know. Everything that he faced, big problem cannot resolve, he will call me in. Then I will help him look at it and I will resolve it. So this is how Dhamma can be applicable to life. Unisoul Manasikara is the Dhamma aspect. The worldly Dhamma, mundane Dhamma, is the conditioned world. And that one you also will have the understanding because you apply Noble Eightfold Path. The Noble Eightfold Path exists within the conditioned world. But within the unconditioned, like the Heart Sutta say, in true emptiness, Four Noble Truths also don't have. He no you, he no me. No old age, no birth, no sickness, and no death, nothing. All this, they don't exist. But the conditioned Dhamma, it exists. Because this is what we call mundane, conditioned world. The conditioned Dhamma. So these two aspects, you are starting to develop the clarity. And slowly, slowly, you can actually become very different. So sadhu to you, So slowly you are going into all this.
No, 然后过后，我又在recall的时候，那个它的里面一个 understanding 讲，它就 arise 讲 view， 所以就刚才 Brandon 你的那个 explanation 就 它那个里面那个 understanding 就讲 view 出来，哦，就是我们两个都在不一样的 view 里面。Yeah,
they both also want to be right. You have your own view of what this thing is. But to you, it's not your scope. So 没有理由，不是你的 scope， 他也要你做嘛。 But you cannot just be so blunt and so like rigid in your approach. Then it will create unnecessary misunderstanding. But to him, he still believe your boss know, you may not know. So if that is what he wants, so tell him, yeah, I think maybe I will check with my boss. So 一个 skillful means 就平静下来了,
yeah.
You can resolve it amicably through a skillful means to accept him for what he is and agree to his suggestion. Maybe he suggests to you two times already. What else you want?
but Bertie, after 我讲完了，那我们开了电话, 他 15 minutes, 他 WhatsApp 我, 他讲我会 try again. No? Then the next day, oh, 因为我有工, that is what the job. Then 我去 call 他, but 很像整个事情没有了了, oh, 他也没有讲, like, 他就好像过去了, whether 他有没有 settle, 他也不了, then 我们就 move on to 我的那个 job 了。 我在想,
Yeah.
你这样, oh,
yeah, at that moment, at the spur of the moment, Yeah, a big issue to him. Because he already got two of the industrial lot MITI approval, he already very happy. So the third one is a conditional, which is something also very easily resolved. It's a matter of checking with other people. I think he must have checked with other of his member association or call up the association. Then they say, ah yeah, this is not software, who and who must have done it before. So they know what to do. So the industry is very small and the news travel very fast. Especially government procedure. You inquire around, very fast you get the answer. Now got social media, everything. You can just call up somebody or text somebody. Then they will send you all the beautiful reply. That's why the handphone, the social media help a lot. You put it to proper use, yes.
Okay. No, Radio Lai, I'll share 另外一个，第二个就是礼拜天, after 我们的那个 class 了以后, then 我就去 买我的 dinner, 我去 order 了我的 dinner 了以后, 我就坐在那个 那个椅子等我的 food, 然后我整个人 then 我整个人就开始里面就一直在 vibrating 哦, 就一直在 vibrating. Then 我 but anyway 我只是静静坐住就 just be with it 这样子.
Yeah.
有一个 customer 就跑来拿他的食物，他就跟那个 staff 他要还钱. Then 那个 staff 就 react 给他的时候，我一听到哦， 哇，我的里面哦就 arise 讲 service 很差。 No, 那个 mic 就 arise 了，然后就
yeah. This is the habitual tendency from the past.
So 然后第二天就是昨天拜一早上， ，我在做puja 早上 puja， 然后我就在 reset 那个 bodhisattva valve 的时候，那个 incident 又 appear， 那个 mic 就 arise。 当它一 arise 的时候，我讲，诶，这个是 Monday mic 来的。
It's for you to contemplate and reflect. Where this habitual tendency is not easy to root out, because immediately it will come out and comment. We call it a commentary, like the internal dialogue one, comment. Because it has nothing to do with you or outside. But if you are mindful and aware, it will be different. Because I went through all those in the early days. Then later on, all these things don't have ready, but it become an observation. That is the way things are. Society is like that. Human beings are just the way they are at that stage of cultivation or at that stage of delusion. They will have this type of misunderstanding, and all this will unfold in front of you for you to see, so that you understand different living beings at different stage of maybe mental development or conditioning, they will do that type of thing. So you will start to see more and more of this. They are just the way they are, conditioned and that things will be there. And this will become clearer and clearer and clearer. Then after a while, not only the habitual tendency no more, this observation becomes so powerful, then later on, no need to reflect, no need to contemplate really. Yeah, everything is just the way it is. Then everything become like stabilized. Then you want to share and give understanding, then you will know how to share because you observe and you saw all this and you understand all this. So the different phases of cultivation, transformation can only be observed through mindfulness and awareness. And you are now going through this initial phase of habitual tendency surfacing. Then you reflect and contemplate. Then later on, when the Yoniso Manasikara come out, Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, no meaning one. Then you no need to think, no need to do anything. But then you will start to understand where the third phase of Dhamma is, Kan san yu su san. That phase is important. So later on, not only you don't react, you will be able to just observe. Everything in life is like your teacher. That's why the Dhamma is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. They are there for you to see. That's why life is our greatest teacher. It teaches all the Dhamma that we need to know. It exposes us to a wide variety of different people, different character, different condition, different karmic background and affinity. So all this keep on unfolding. So the observation of it through the understanding is the final phase that accumulate to coming to a complete what we call more in-depth understanding of what Dhamma is. Then after that, it like link up everything. It's no longer case-to-case basis, no longer. It's like everything is just the way it is. It has to be this way. And you can see from all this happening, the beauty of life, the beauty of existence, the beauty of Dhamma. Everything has its pristine reality, beauty, and meaning. No matter what the condition is, even within a pandemic, there is also such beauty. Your thing is just the way it is. So sometimes it's not, terrible, we are going through this period of disaster, what we call severe depression or suffering, misery, war, whatever. But within conflict, there are Dhamma too. Within pandemic, there are also Dhamma too. And the world has a lot of things for us to understand, because now with the media, with the TV, the handphone, a lot of this news, you can see them. Even every day now, you can see there are still floods in the United States, in China, all over the world, in Japan earlier on, Korea, and many other countries. Then, of course, there are also beautiful things happening, like people enjoying their games, Olympic celebration, all those things. That's the uniqueness of our planet. That's the uniqueness of the human life and existence on our planet. So a lot of all this, you will start to have the understanding, because the observation leads to understanding. And the understanding will continuously unfold, because Dhamma is unending, wisdom is unending. You can learn at every era, every civilization, every condition within it. Everything is unfolding beautifully. That's why Bodhisattva, they keep on coming, they keep on experiencing, and all these are accumulated into their karmic nature, their spiritual nature, and their understanding. And they will have this with them life after life whenever they arise and they come, and they will inherit them. That's why the way you cultivate, the way you perfect yourself, and the way you evolve, all these are part and parcel of the cultivation, the Bodhisattva way's cultivation. So all this, you will start to get yourself exposed, and you will understand much deeper as cultivation progresses, as you evolve more and more. Okay.
Bertil, 我有个问题问 Bertil, 那个 Sankara arise 它是一个 image 来的。
Sankara 是 mundane mind 来的。 你 mundane mind 还没有 collapse 的时候是 a lot of image 很 a lot of image 很 then 它是 very gross 很。 为什么你要知道? 因为 Sankara, when you are mindful and aware, you can be aware of its movement and manifestation. That one is more important. Because before the mundane mind collapse, I remember, it's very easy to be mindful of them. And you can be ever mindful throughout the day. That mundane mind very easy to develop mindfulness on. So you just let it be and cultivate until the daily mindfulness very stable. What is it that you want to understand when you ask that question?
Oh, 因为我坐在那个店的前面的时候哦, 当我其实我这样子静静看住那个staff的时候, 那个comment arise, 我好像有一个东西这样 arise 上来。
Oh, when you talk about that. No, that one is in your forehead there. There is an image, yes, literally inverted. You can see that it's very good because that one needs a lot of mindfulness. I remember that one, I later part of my cultivation after 1989, I remember when my mindfulness very stable that time. I see it very often. Then I saw and I knew it's only an image. At that time, my mundane mind haven't collapsed. Then it's only an image. That's why I can teach you all the block cut analogy. I said, it's only an image. How real can it be? You remember the block cut analogy? Externally, the parts, when they come together, they form the block cut. Then because it can perform a function, you give it a name and a concept. Then the block card exists, arise already. But is it real? Like the Buddha said, take the parts away. Then the block card is gone. Where these are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. So externally, physically, it's already not so real. Where these are all the parts that come together. When the parts is no more there, it ceases to be. That's why it's condition arising. Then after that, how do you know it's a block cut? It comes through what? The knowing comes from perception, sanya, aggregate. And what is sanya? Perception. Who perceive? The mundane mind perceive. Then I saw in the forehead there the image. That's why I can share with you all. Externally, physically, condition arising, not so real. That is the first contemplative wisdom or understanding. Then second inquiry is, how do you know it's a blocker? It's through the mundane mind that perceive it. So what is that perception? It's just a mental image. And how real can be that image be? It's even more unreal, isn't it? It's just an image, a conscious image, the mental image. Then arise and pass away. So when you see it, you know it's even more unreal. Then why do you grab say it, cling on to it and give meaning? Want to own it, possess it and all those things. So all this understanding become very penetrative. That's why I say you must learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. That's how you see beyond form. Because the knowing comes from perception, which is mental image. Externally already not so real. Then how do you know it's a blocker? It's a mental image, even more unreal. Then why do you cling? Why do you crown? Why do you give? So everything in this universe is like that. It has its universal characteristics. That's why mind make are they. When mind arise, all things arise, like real already, but it's actually an image. That's why phenomenal world of consciousness, phenomenal world of consciousness. How real can consciousness be? As real it can be, it's only the moment. That moment, split second is dead and gone, split second is dead and gone. It's just an image. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness is empty, no reality. Everything is just suchness, the way it is. You wei fa, wu wei fa. That's a yi qie yu wei fa. Zu mu huan tao yi. Zu lu yi lu dian. Ying zuo lu si guan. All this become very beautiful, unfold nicely. Then with that type of contemplative wisdom, you can encounter the conditioned world with whatever condition, circumstances, no more problem, really. Yet by then, everything falls into its place. and you know they are not what you think. So all these phases of understanding you will go through, then always remember. So don't try to remember them. Don't try to remember them. Then when the understanding is there already, then move on. Then later on, when you have the complete training or understanding that time, you will know how to share all this. Then from whatever direction and angle you can actually move in, then no need to remember anything. Like for me, I don't hold it on memory anymore. But when you ask me, when there is condition, I can explain all this and it just come out. It is not a thing that you have to remember. Their wisdom is with our nature. It cannot disappear. Because this life, when you have awakened, reflected, contemplated, and inherited whatever understanding that you have with that spiritual nature or true nature within you, that one cannot disappear. It's always there. That's why I always use this word. Wisdom is you have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. Then before this form and mind separate or parinibbana or whatever, that wisdom cannot be lost. It's always there. I don't even want to use the word forgotten. Because it's not in the memory. It's an understanding that the nature has. And the understanding is from that nature. That's why straight from the heart it come out. The sharing and all these teachings. It flow. It just flow. So all this, later on, as you go deeper and more transform in your cultivation, you will end up with all this understanding. Then you will understand what I meant. All the sharing and all the things. That's why luckily today one is also recorded. So it will be very useful for cultivator later on as they reach the phases of cultivation. But these are the progressive transformation and everyone is different. Everyone's movement and approach is different. It depends on who that cultivator is and what are the conditions behind. Some they move differently. For you, you move according to what you are already destined to be. That's why all these movements are there. And you can also witness all kayamita, they are different. In fact, all of you are very different. There's like each and every one of you, you have your own past, your own conditioning, your own maybe causes and condition behind. So all these are unfolding and you can see them. Some you may think they are slow, but no. When the time comes, they move very fast. So all this, they can just unfold and become very beautiful. Where this is part and parcel of nature's phenomena, nature's condition. Everything is just the way it is, very beautiful. Okay?
Okay, this is Brother Teo.
Good evening, Brother Teo.
We hear you loud and clear, Sadio.
It's actually regarding, it's from Sunday's talk.
That one very good. Sunday's talk was very good.
Song, Brother Song was doing his sharing.
Yeah.
And then there's one part where you have the Bodhidharma.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes, can hear you. Yeah, loud and clear.
Brother Teo was explaining to Brother Song regarding Bodhidharma.
Yeah.
And the second patriarch.
Yeah, second patriarch.
Weaker, right?
Yeah, weaker.
So the incident when, it comes to this part where. Because Bodhidharma refused to teach him, and he, Bodhidharma says, not until the snow turns red.
Yeah.
I remember you say he chopped off his hand.
Yeah.
And in the incident, after the incident, Bodhidharma said that he has the resolve
to learn
the Dharma.
Yes.
So, when I heard the word resolve, Brother Teo, it was like a lightning strike, Brother Teo. My heart sinks so strongly. The tears came, Brother Teo.
I can understand, because you have done this before and you have this ability. That one is a very powerful one, because when you have that, you actually can become beautiful and you can actually cultivate beautifully, because that resolve is very important. I also have that. I can just do it. I can just whatever sacrifice, no problem. I can just do it.
Yeah, it was so strong, brother. That one really kaulat.
yeah. And it's a very, very wholesome thing, very beautiful thing that your nature has.
Then as the story goes further, you were saying that Bodhidharma decided to give him a new name.
Yeah, Huike, yes.
Huike. Yeah. Ayo, brother Teo, it's like the dam broke. I cried and cried.
Really, the dam broke.
I cried so hard that I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Sadhu.
And I used up so much tissue.
Sadhu. I really
can't understand what happened, brother Teo.
It's from your past.
You know, my Mandarin is like almost zero. Whatever I learn is mainly from the English books that I read. Then because this was in the afternoon.
Yes.
The lesson was in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So at night, when I did my usual religious routine,
sadhu.
I knew that something has changed, Brother Teo.
Definitely.
The way I do my chanting was totally different, Brother Teo. It was so solemn.
Yeah.
So slow.
Sadhu.
Pronouncing every word and meaning every word, right?
Yes. From the understanding behind.
When you start from Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni
Flo,
until the end, it's...
Until the end, yeah. Sadhu.
Totally rejoice.
Yeah, from your past, very strong. Wow, that's why when it come back, when it hit, it moved very fast.
I thought that was the end of it, Brother
Teo. Still got a lot more.
Next day itself, for the morning religious routine. But I always do it quite late. When I started the chanting, it still continued like last night. Very slow, very solemn.
Yeah.
And when I did my Bodhisattva vows, the second phrase where we chant that it just slipped my mind. Where you chant, where we have chant the Dharma.
Yeah, the right
from
view.
Rupang Anichang.
Yeah, the right view or thing. Yeah. Right Dharma understanding.
Right Dharma understanding.
Yeah.
So normally I will translate that in English because I feel that I understand better.
Yes.
So when I come to that part, I was going to chant in English, but something prompted me, Brother Teo. A voice prompted me, Brother Teo. It's a male voice.
Yeah.
It says chant in Pali.
Yeah, sadhu.
So I started Rupang,
Rang, Anichang.
Cry start again. Every sentence I chant, the cry and cry and cry until the end. It was a real release. I don't know how to explain it. It's like every word.
My nature can understand. Satu,
so
satu.
Deep a meaning ratio.
Yeah. That's why the nature will know. And that nature with that voice, that calm, has affinity with people. And that one is starting to move. That's why your whole past is going to come back to you. And you are going to move. And when you move, you will move very fast. Satu to you.
Ratio, for the last 2 months that I've been doing my Bodhisattva vows, I always chant in English. I don't know. It's something just prompted me. Chant in Pali.
Yes, it's the male voice.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I can say it's a male voice.
Yes, you will know. Because very clear one, very distinct.
Very distinct.
When the message comes, it's very clear, very distinct.
So after that, when it comes to the four basic vows, very meaningful. So after that, we go to the next part where we do the asking for forgiveness.
Clear
obstruction.
Yeah.
The first one is asking for forgiveness from the
Triple Gem. Yes.
So I started with that. I ready to cry. Very charming.
For a good cause. You will cry on. That's why this nobody can understand one. It's from the past. And then nature, when it's dry, it moves. And you really go through all this. That's why sometimes you will say, Yamukam kwa chong ah. People who don't understand would think like that. But it's actual case when it happened, it's even more fantastic than fairy tale, I used to say. Really, on all this, when it comes, it's very powerful and it's very, very impactful. That's why when all those, what they call great beings, their nature, when they come and requesting or give message or help, it's very powerful and very, very unique. And it really moves you on because the message that came is so clear. Then your inner nature will move. So, salute to you. The other thing before I forget, I want you to understand why he asked you to chant in Pali. Because this Pali word very, very beautiful. There is from Sakyamuni's lineage, the Pali lineage. And I also like to chant in Pali because after I chant in Pali, I understand its meaning very, very deeply. That's why I can tell you the meaning of Rupang Vedana Sanya Sankara Miyanang in very clear, specific term, which even the English translation cannot understand, especially Sankara. And the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects of it. No book has really mentioned it or explained it in that way. Most of them only got it until the first aspect, human being. And the five Rupang, Rupa Vedana Sanya Sankara Miyana, they only have this thing. Then the second aspect within the mind, mental, I haven't heard of any, even textbook or what, I haven't heard. And the meaning after you chant, that Rupang is very clear one. That's why I remember during the early days when I was chanting it. Rupang Anichang. The whole understanding of what Rupang is, all aspect of Rupang is really Anichang. Then Vedana also same. Sanya also same. Sankara also same. The whole understanding of the aggregate one. And consciousness also same. So it has its vibration and power within. That's why when you chant in Pali, it's different. Then when you recite in English, I don't know, maybe English language is not a spiritual language. I find a lot of things missing. One, the English word doesn't have that impact, the impactful nature of what that Pali teaching is. So remember to chant the Pali, because when you chant with the faith and the understanding, like what you have gone through, it will go in. And when you go, when it go in, after your cultivation, you will understand it very, very differently, very clearly. Very, very clearly. Then when you reflect and contemplate, there is so much joy. Everything is like for you to see. Rupang anicang, rupang everywhere. The external phenomenal world is all rupang. Then the mental rupang is all rupang. All these are rupang. Then the Vedana, the aggregate of Vedana is everywhere. Every mundane mind manifestation, there is this feeling. Then the pure feeling, which is without craving one, without grasping one, pure feeling. That one, after you transform and awaken, then you will know the feeling that is without delusion and craving one, the pure feeling. Non-grasping one. That one you will come to understand, which is very beautiful. Then the sankhara part also same, the sanya part also same, then the consciousness part, vijnana also same. All this will unfold and become very beautiful. So sadhu, to you, PG. Wow, wonderful. Luckily you share, sadhu.
When I finish my chanting, I did the sharing of merits. So when I did the sharing of merits, I was my body start to vibrate.
Yeah.
it vibrate and it goes left, right. Left, right.
Yeah.
Then after a while, you can feel the energy coming from
very
the bottom
strong.
Of the
body. Yeah, very strong.
Coming from the bottom of the body.
Yeah.
It start moving up.
Yeah.
It moves up to the, when it reached the heart area, it suddenly pulls me up so that I.
Wow, sadhu. Wow, sadhu.
It goes to the.
You should thank the Dhamma protector, the non-human and all those things. Because they rejoice. And when you share that merits after that, I tell you, they really rejoice. That's why the energy will come. You will feel it. That's why you will start to have those movements, the vibration, everything. Oh, sadhu.
Then after that, I do the metta. May who and who. So when I do the metta, the body goes the other way. Front and back.
Yes.
The body goes front and back. Then the energy vibrate.
That one will be very strong. Your metta at that time. They will receive, the non-humans will receive. They look forward to it, actually.
Then when I finish the whole thing, I just stay quiet. It's just like I'm in a space. And like in an enclosed place.
Yeah.
It's totally still.
Sadhu.
Very quiet, very still.
Sadhu.
Don't know how to explain that.
No need to explain. It's beyond words. But it's very beautiful.
I can hear the outside things, like the
external environment and all things. Like the wonder.
At the same time, you know that you're within a space by itself. Yeah.
Yes. Sadhu. Yeah. Wow, very, very beautiful. Yeah. Because that is your true mind, your true nature. That one that has this ability, that's why it's still, completely still, without thought, without sankhara, without any movement. And from there, it will manifest. Oh, very beautiful. Sadhu. Wow, luckily our song nominated you. Otherwise, I missed the great story. Sadhu. Very good.
Even like today, my place very... very strong wind and rain. I was looking out. So as usual, the mind will say, wow, so heavy rain and all that. Then I tell myself, okay, just be silent. Just be with the nature.
Yeah, nature. Yeah.
Wow, the whole body vibrate.
Very strong.
Then you can feel the heart.
Yes.
You were pumping.
Yes, you will tap the nature's energy. Actually, they are activating your nature inside. And with this, you continue with your cultivation. Within 3 to 6 months, you become very different. Your mindfulness, everything become very different. You will transform very fast. And your nature inside there, it will be like awakened. Yeah, this is the triggering of process, which is very powerful and very important. Yeah, this is from your past, your affinity and all those things. Oh, sadhu. Wonderful. Yeah.
Actually, when on the Sunday, when all this happened, since I don't understand what is happening, so I tell myself, just let things be.
Yeah, let things be.
Like Brarity always says, no need to know.
Yeah, part of the way.
Just let it be. So I just let things be.
Yeah, because when the time comes,
hopefully the understanding will come by itself.
That condition arise, it will unfold. That's why song will nominate you and you will report. And the way you report, everything turn out very beautiful. And the way I listen and understand it, that's how I can explain all this to you, which is very, very beautiful. Really, sadhu to you, Biji. Let us all together rejoice. Sadhu. Wow, congratulations, Biji. Oh, my nature rejoices. Sadhu.
I just like to say kanan to you, Brother Teo. Thank you so much for always your guiding, your guidance, and blessings too.
Also, thank your good past, your good nature from the past, your affinity with all this triple gem. Sadhu.
Yeah.
Very good.
Don't know what to say, Brother Teo.
It's okay. So
it's so unexpected.
Yeah, unexpected and very beautiful. Yeah. That's the way it will unfold. That's why when it comes, it's very, very phenomenal. And people don't understand all this. Yeah, this is what Dhamma is all about. Cultivation is all about. When it unfolds, it really unfolds. Very, very phenomenal. Sadhu. Okay, thank you so much, PJ.